Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr. Tonight's episode is written by E. Jack Newman, who is a famous writer in radio and television. I believe he wrote an episode of Twilight Zone. He probably his best radio writing, or some of it, was on the Onstage television show, written for Elliot Lewis and Elliot Lewis's then wife, Kathy Lewis. Tonight's episode, I think I'll get more into it next week, but I thought last week's episode was really interesting, written by Kathleen Height. She really took on a lot of prejudices towards Indigenous Americans, and I thought it was really well done. It felt like something out of the 60s, not something out of the 50s, so I think she was kind of ahead of her time with where she was going with prejudice and dealing with just the whole scene where they're in a store and an Indian comes into the store and the woman just completely flips out, and Quince comes up to her and is trying to figure out what's going on, and the Indian did a great job, the actor, in just saying, "Hey, I was just here. I just walked in," and Quince eventually getting to the point of saying, "Oh, he's a human being, you know," and she just couldn't accept that he was a human being. So it was really interesting, deep writing for a radio show. Anyway, tonight's episode completely different than that, and we'll get into the differences next week. But enjoy tonight's episode, and we will see you next time.
At the gallop! Ho!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Afternoon, Captain.
Afternoon.
What'll it be?
Oh, glass of rye?
Yes, sir. There you are, Captain. Afternoon off?
No. I just came in to talk to Smithson about some freighting. Well, here's luck.
Well, now, thank you, Captain.
Thought that was a soldier's mount out front.
What is that?
Hello, Captain.
Banyan.
You surprised?
I didn't expect to see you here. Thought you'd be long gone from these parts, Banyan.
Gone, come back, and on my way again.
Huh? To where?
Oh, I think I'll try California, San Francisco this time.
I hear it's a nice place. San Francisco.
Even this place is nice when you aren't in the army.
Hey, like a drink?
I don't mind.
Another glass here, bartender.
Coming right up.
Yeah. How's civilian life?
Oh, you should try it, Captain. Nobody issuing orders from Washington all the time, you know. Orders telling you to do something foolish about some other foolish thing. I don't suppose any of that's changed much.
Oh, Washington never changes.
All right, gents.
There you are.
Thanks, Quince. In for the day?
Nope. I'm on my way back right now.
Oh. I thought you might like to join me.
Doing what?
Nice poker game going on over there. They've been at it 2 days, two nights now. Now, that fellow there in the Stetson from Montana, he's winning a lot. But he's getting pretty tired. I figure it's just about time for me to walk in with a good night's sleep. Don't you?
Might be.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Just figure I'll have him wore down in, oh, 6-7 hours. About the time you're sitting horse at retreat. They still have that, don't they? Retreat.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the drink, Captain.
Captain.
Hmm?
That fella you were just talking with. Been around here 2 or 3 days. Don't seem to know what to do with himself.
Fill this up, will you?
Sure. Seemed familiar in a way, though. Soldier, was he?
He was in the army. But he was never a soldier. Yeah, see you later.
Eddies! Eddies! Bright and shining for dress parade, soldiers. Bright and shining.
Oh, how soon, Sergeant?
They'll sound off any minute, soldier, and you just hope you're not late.
I thought this was a fighting outfit.
How's that?
Well, we had a dress parade last week, Sergeant.
And there may be another next week. Oh. I just want to hear wind going by me when that bugle blows. Just wind. When the dust settles, B Company better be all present or accounted for. Carry on.
Company will make a good showing, sir.
It had better, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
The book says a clean soldier's a good soldier.
Yes, sir.
And Major Daggett goes by the book. Call the men in.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Gorse.
Sir?
Be sure Trooper Lineley stays awake this time.
Thank you. Sir, the parade is formed.
Take your post, sir. Dismiss the parade, sir.
Parade is dismissed. Officers, forward, guide, center. Officers, halt.
You're to be complimented, gentlemen. The troopers were well turned out. There are no orders to be published, so that's all, gentlemen.
You walking over to the mess, Quince?
Oh, I'm going back to the orderly room. Corporal Mercer has got some reports for me. I'll see you at the mess later, Meade.
All right.
Retreat parade is still just the same, isn't it?
How did you get on this post?
Pretty simple. Just told the sentry I wanted to enlist in the army.
What do you want, Banyan?
I wasn't lying to the sentry. I want to enlist.
You don't have any use for the army. You didn't while you were in...
You going to try to talk me out of it?
Come on in. Didn't that poker game turn out too well?
Oh, that feller from Montana, he wasn't as tired as he looked. He cleaned me out. So I guess I'm not going to San Francisco.
Men don't usually enlist in the army for just a meal and a bed.
Oh, that's right, Captain. Generally find a meal and a bed any place.
Why do you want to get back in the army, Banyan?
Now, once before, I filled out an enlistment blank. And I saw things asking me my full name and where I was from and how old and if I had prior service and all things like that. I never saw a line on one of them asking why.
Corporal Mercer.
Yes, sir.
Will you tell the doctor I have a recruit to be examined?
Yes, sir.
Fill this out.
Oh, sure.
If you're physically acceptable, I'll swear you in tonight.
Oh, I got a civilian horse and some other things back in town.
Then you can go back to town and dispose of them. Report back here first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I hope you know what you're doing, Banyan.
I thought on it. Long time I thought on it.
All prisoner accounted for, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Dismiss the company.
Yes, sir. Company! Dismiss!
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you. We have a new man coming in today, Sergeant. Non-commissioned officer.
A non-com, sir?
That's right.
This company?
This company.
He transferred out here, sir?
He re-enlisted. It's Will Banyan.
Banyan?
Banyan served 6 years. He was entitled to 3 stripes coming in.
Captain.
What is it?
Banyan never could forget he was related to some officer on the general staff back in Washington. He held that up in front of everybody. It was kind of touchy then. Could be the same all over again.
That isn't quite clear.
Well, Some of the officers didn't know how to take him. Neither did the men. He just got himself some easy stripes.
Easy or not, he's got him, Sergeant.
You asked me to keep this company running, sir. I like to keep it running. There's no place for Banyan and me both.
I'll see you after mess.
Yes, sir.
I left her right there. Yeah. I took the first stage into Cheyenne. Then I came on here.
You were a civilian about 8 months then.
Yeah, 8 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, and four...
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Washburn. Banyan, you may be in civilian clothes right now, but you're in the Army again. Now get on your feet. You know where the mess hall is located?
Well, no, I think I can still remember.
As soon as you've had your breakfast, report to Sergeant Gorse. He'll take you over to AQM stores.
All right, sir.
Mr. Washburn.
Yes, sir.
Did you read the special orders this morning?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you notice that Will Banyan holds the rank of sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Then just remember you hold a commission. He's a sergeant.
Yes, sir. But I thought... I mean, you and Sergeant Gorse...
You thought incorrectly, Mr. Washburn.
Yes, sir.
Had your breakfast?
No, sir.
Come on.
Captain.
Hmm?
Lieutenant Syberts and I were talking a while back. Sergeant Gorse isn't going to like another sergeant around.
He doesn't like it, Mr. Washburn, and I don't like it. But we have to put up with it.
Yes, sir. I'll remember that.
Housewife Kit, Bridle, Lariat and Hobbles.
Bridle, Lariat, Hobbles.
Picket pin, razor, mirror, soap, comb.
Right.
Two blankets.
Two blankets.
Bacon can, curry comb, collar ornaments, cross saber, Colt revolver.
Yeah.
Springfield carbine.
Carbine?
Canteen and mess outfit.
Canteen and mess outfit.
Check?
Check.
All right, stow them away, Sergeant.
Sure, Sergeant.
When you're squared away, report back here.
Sure. Oh, Captain.
Carry on, Sergeant Banyan.
Yes, sir.
All right, Gorse, as you were.
Yes, sir.
Gorse, where are you putting Banyan?
With Corporal Hunter, sir.
Can you put him in your quarters?
Sir?
I'd like him to live in your quarters.
I'd just as soon he didn't, Captain.
But that's the way we're going to do it.
Captain, I gotta speak my mind, sir.
All right.
No man ever come in this company I couldn't break in, but you're asking me to handle a three-striper that's got a general working for him in Washington. You're asking me to treat him like a sergeant when he ain't a good enough man to be a private in anybody's company.
Sergeant?
You told me to speak out, sir. Well, there's only room for one sergeant here.
Now I'm telling you to shut up, Sergeant, and stay shut.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Captain Quint's reporting, sir.
Oh, at ease, Captain. I have a request from Sergeant Gorse asking for transfer to Fort Lincoln.
Oh?
He gave the reason that he intends to marry a girl living in that area. That's a lie, isn't it?
He's not intending to marry anyone, as far as I know, sir.
Then it's Banyan?
Sergeant Gorse feels that Banyan's rank is unfair.
And it's up to you to convince him that Banyan's rank was automatic when he reenlisted.
Sergeant Gorse can't regard it in that light, sir. He feels that Banyan's influence in Washington helped him get the rank. Not only that, but Banyan's rating moves back the others a whole notch.
Your company could go sour because of him. I don't intend to allow that, Captain.
You'll transfer Banyan?
I'll transfer Gorse, if that's what he wants.
Sir, Gorse is the most valuable man.
We can't have this kind of discontent in the company. And Gorse has requested transfer. His rank and seniority in service require me to give the request consideration. I'll wire Colonel Thaler at Fort Lincoln today and ask if he'll accept Sergeant Gorse. I'm sure he'll be glad to.
Major, would you withhold that application? I don't want to lose Gorse or Banyan.
I'd expect to keep them both.
Well, I thought I'd talk with Sergeant Gorse once more. I had the impression once that Banyan's reenlistment was a casual thing.
No man enlists in the Army casually.
Yes, sir, that's exactly it.
And I'll set this aside till I hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Kind of peaceful this way. I said it's kind of peaceful, Captain. I like this time of night best on a post.
You do?
Well, yes, sir. You know, I feel kind of sorry for Seibert's pulling OD on a night like this. A cigar, Captain?
Huh? Oh, no thanks. Well, I think I'll take a stroll. Like to come along?
I believe I...
Come along, Mr. Washburn.
Oh, yes, sir. Captain. Is it true, I mean, about Sergeant Gorse wanting a transfer?
Yes, it's true.
Because of Banyan?
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Gorse is the best man I ever seen in his job. Be difficult to replace him.
It would indeed.
Evening, Captain. Lieutenant.
Oh, hello, Sergeant.
Oh, Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir?
Step over here, will you? I asked the Major not to act on your transfer till tomorrow morning, Sergeant.
All right, Captain.
Chances are, in another outfit, you'd meet another sergeant wearing stripes like yours.
I guess that's right enough, but only one of us should be wearing them here.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mr. Washburn?
Why?
In all fairness.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with Sergeant Gorse, sir.
So am I. And I think Lieutenant Seibert's would, too.
How's that, Captain?
You heard me. There's room for only one sergeant in this outfit.
Do I understand the Captain?
It's not up to the Major or myself to settle this. It's the sergeant's business.
Do I understand you, sir?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yes, sir. I think I do. Will the captain and lieutenant excuse me, sir?
Good night, Sergeant.
Sir, he understood you, but I didn't. I'm sorry,
He's
sir.
Going to look up Sergeant Banyan, Mr. Washburn, and the chances are only one of them will be sergeant by morning. Best man of the two.
Yes, sir, but who is the best man?
Sergeant Gorse has just gone to settle that question, I think. Yeah. Come on, Mr. Washburn.
Captain, sir?
Banyan?
I have a request to make of the captain, sir.
And what is it?
I wish to be relieved of my stripes, sir.
I thought you might request transfer, but I didn't think...
No, sir. Not a transfer. I would want to stay here in this company.
I see.
Once the captain asked me why I re-enlisted in the Army, I could answer the captain now.
Go ahead, Banyan.
Yes, sir. I served in the Army once with a general back of me. I failed that time. I thought I hated the Army, but I came back because I hated failing worse. Does this make any sense to the captain?
Yes, it does.
Yes, sir. I told the captain I thought about it before I came back in. I knew I'd have sergeant's pay. I didn't know I was starting to fail again. I know that now. Last night, Sergeant Gorse explained some things to me. We talked it over outside the fort.
Mm-hmm. What happened to your face?
I fell off my horse, sir.
A good cavalry soldier falls off his horse sometimes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain. I don't mean to again.
Lee.
Oh, morning, Major.
Hey, isn't that Will Banyan and Sergeant Gorse together?
Why, yes, sir.
Where'd they fight it out?
Off the compound, sir.
Yeah, that's good. Lee, why'd you let Banyan re-enlist in the first place?
He wanted to. And he had guts enough to come back here where he'd failed and... try again.
Yeah, that coffee from the mess hall?
Mm-hmm.
Smells good. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by E. Jack Newman, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Moyles, Paul Duboff, James Nusser, John Daner, Sam Edwards, and Lou Krugman.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Little boys can be the most exasperating creatures on earth. They can also be very amusing and lovable indeed. A CBS radio dramatic series that makes the most of this fact is that delightful program called My Son Jeep, heard every evening, Monday through Friday, over most of these same stations. Focusing on the adventures and misadventures of the most normal of all small boys, the story of My Son Jeep is hilarious and heartwarming by turns, just like its hero. Hear My Son Jeep every evening, Monday through Friday, right here on CBS Radio. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Hey, Kitty.
Huh?
What's your hurry?
I'm late for work, Matt. I should have been at the Long Branch an hour ago.
I was just over there. The place is full of nothing but loafers. Why, there isn't a dollar in the crowd.
I never saw a loafer yet who didn't have at least a few pennies hid out somewhere.
Maybe you're right, Kitty.
Of course, sometimes you have to pull his boots off to find it. That's all in the day's work.
Mr. Dillon!
Who's that with Chester?
Yeah, I don't know him.
Look at the spread of that man's feet, Matt. He looks like a buffalo.
Yeah, they are pretty big, all right.
I'll see you later, Matt.
Okay, good luck, Kitty.
Mr. Dillon, this here is Mr. and Miss Jollips.
How do you do?
The Jollips has bought themselves old Mather place down at the head of Salt Fork.
Oh? Well, that's about 60 miles south of here, isn't it, Mr. Jollip?
Well, that's what they tell me, Marshal. Of course, we ain't never been there.
We're on our way now.
Well, you'll have a good neighbor down there, Miss Jollip. Bob Oren lives only about 10 or 15 miles from you.
Well, that's what they wanted to see you about, Mr. Dillon.
What?
We met this here Bob Oren right here in town today, Marshal.
Oh, did you?
No. See, we paid good money for that place. But, well, my wife and me, we've about give up going down there. All we've been hearing about that country. And we met this Oren fella down the Santa Fe Depot today. Now, he said it was all lies.
And they want you to tell them the truth, Mr. Dillon.
Yes.
What? The truth about what?
About them Indians, Marshal. Them Comanches.
Now, everybody but Bob Oren. Everybody says that country down there is just full of them.
And he lives alone. He's got no woman with him. But me, I didn't come west to get captured by no Indians. I've read about that. Bad what they do to women.
I don't intend to expose my wife to nothing like that, Marshal.
We want you to tell us the truth, Marshal. You're the law here, and we'll believe you.
Well, that was Comanche country, yeah, but it isn't anymore. I doubt if a single Indian's been seen down there for 2 or 3 years. They're all on the reservation now.
Yeah. Is that the truth, Marshal? You swear that's the truth?
Well, you can go out to Fort Dodge and ask the Army. They'll tell you.
No, no, we'll believe you.
Well, you can believe Bob Oren. He's lived there quite a while.
All right, then. Laura?
Let's get going, Will. I'll brave it.
All right.
I've got a ride down your way in a few weeks. if you don't mind, I'll come by and say hello.
Oh, you'll be welcome, Marshal.
Pleased to see you, Marshal.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Ain't you taking a little too much responsibility for that, Mr. Dillon?
What do you mean, Chester?
Well, how can you say every Comanche in the country is on that reservation? I think they're taking a big chance. Maybe Bob Oren ain't seen none, but that don't mean nothing, not when it comes to Indians.
They're chancing the weather, too, Chester. And they know it.
Yeah, maybe so. But I'm glad it wasn't me told them.
Thank you.
thought the old Mather place was right in them cottonwoods, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, it was.
Well, then the jollops must have moved it. I sure don't see no house.
Look closer.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah.
Why, it's all tore down. It's just a heap. Mr. Dillon's been burned. They've had a fire out here.
Looks that way.
I don't see nobody around.
No. Oh. Let's have a look.
My, there sure ain't much left, is there?
Well, there's this.
It's an arrow.
Uh-huh. Comanche. Oh, and there's another one, half burned.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, look at there, Mr. Dillon. Somebody's made a grave. It's fresh dug, too.
Yeah, but it's only one grave. Yeah, it's not very deep, either. Just a few inches.
You gonna dig it up?
I gotta find out who it is, Chester.
Oh, you mean if it's Mr. Jollop, then they took her alive.
That's right.
Yeah, but Comanches wouldn't bury nobody, Mr. Dillon.
No, they wouldn't.
It's her. She's been scalped. Oh, ain't that awful?
Yeah, we'll have to bury her proper, Chester. Then we'll ride over to Bob Oren's. Maybe they got him, too.
Yeah, well, where's Mr. Jollop? You think they took him prisoner?
I don't know, Chester, but look sharp now. We don't want him to get us.
You've heard Bobby Haggard whistling it on radio and television. Right now, a country-style version. Okay, partners?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
Time to the rail here, Chester.
All right, sir. Bob Warren's pretty lucky. Doesn't look like them Indians been anywhere near here.
From the tracks of the jollops, it was a small party.
Yeah, well, I know, but that wouldn't keep them from coming over here.
Only a big party will hit every ranch, Chester. Small one attacks and then rides on for miles before trying it again. Now, wait a minute.
What?
Well, it's footprints.
Well, there's lots of footprints all over.
Yeah. Come on.
I guess Arne ain't home.
He's gotta be. Didn't you notice that saddled horse in his corral?
Gonna walk right in.
Oren. Hey, Oren. It's Marshal Dillon. Oren.
I told you there ain't nobody here, Mr. Dillon.
I'll look in the kitchen, Chester. He's here, Chester.
Why, it's Oren. He's been scalped, too.
bullet hole in his chest.
Well, them Comanches was here after all.
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, they scalped him, didn't they?
Did you ever hear of Indians killing a man and not setting fire to his place?
No, I guess I never did.
There are three horses in that corral. Even drunk an Indian wouldn't leave a horse behind.
Yeah, but he's been scalped.
Anybody with a sharp knife can scalp a man, Chester. You don't have to be an Indian to do that.
What do you mean?
Outside those tracks I stopped to look at. They're made by a man wearing boots. About the biggest boots I ever saw.
You thinking of Will Jallop?
Those tracks aren't more than 2 days old, and Bob Oren hasn't been dead any longer than that.
Yeah, but Jallop wouldn't come scalp a man.
The Comanches killed his wife, Chester. We don't know what happened to him, but my guess is he's alive. The Indians don't take male prisoners his age.
But that don't say he done this to Bob Oren.
Chester, there are only two people who told Jallop and his wife they'd be safe out here. Oren was one of them. Jallop's wife gets killed, he escapes somehow, and comes here to take his revenge. He did to Oren what the Comanches did to her.
That's awful hard to believe, Mr. Dillon.
Well, he wouldn't be the first man driven crazy with grief.
Well, maybe...
And if it's true, I'm the next on his list. When we get back to Dodge, I got an idea Jallop will be there waiting for me.
Evening, Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
Sit down.
Oh, any coffee left in that pot?
Sure. And here's an extra cup.
Ah, thanks.
You look tired.
Well, we rode all night, Kitty. I haven't been to bed yet.
No, Chester came to the Long Branch. No luck, huh?
Not so far.
You could be wrong about him, Matt. Jollop might be in Colorado by now.
Yeah, maybe.
He might have killed Bob Oren, sure. But it's kind of hard to believe he'd come to Dodge looking to scalp a gun-bearing U.S. Marshal.
Well, I'm beginning to think maybe you're right, Kitty. Maybe I made a mistake about the whole thing.
But somebody killed Oren.
Yeah, they sure did. Guess I better go out there and have another look around.
With all those Comanches on the warpath?
I know, there are only three or four of them, Kitty. Some young braves who jumped reservation last week.
How do you know that?
I reported the whole business to Major Honeyman at Fort Dodge. He told me about it.
Well, even so, isn't he doing anything about them?
Yeah. He put a company of troopers in the field.
Sure. All they'll do is kick up a lot of dust.
Probably. Well, Kitty, I think I'll turn in for a couple of hours, eh? I need some sleep.
That's the best idea you had yet.
When Chester comes in, will you tell him I've gone to my room, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell him that.
Oh, did you see Kitty, Chester?
Yes, sir, I did. I come in just after you left. I've been trying to catch you before you got to your room here.
Oh, what is it? Did you find him?
No, sir.
No.
What I wanted to know is, could I get some sleep, too?
Well, of course, Chester. I thought you understood that.
Mm. Well, then I'll go back to the office and lay down there.
All right, I'll come by later tonight when I wake up, huh?
All right, sir. I'll see you then.
Yeah.
Don't move, Marshal. Just leave that gun there on the table. This here is a mighty short-barreled shotgun, Marshal. I stole it off of Bob Oren, and it's loaded with buckshot. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting hours. Busted in the back window, if that's what you're wondering.
No, that's not what I'm wondering, Jollop.
What?
I'm wondering how you got away from those Comanches.
Seen them coming. Climbed up one of them big cottonwood trees. They looked. They never found me.
You mean you left your wife to fight them?
I left her all right. You betcha I left her.
Coward.
Terrible, them Indians. It was terrible. But I fixed Bob Oren for it. He told me it was safe out there. Now I'm going to fix you. I'm going to take you right down by the river, Marshal. Going to fix you there. You just make one move on the way and I'll leave you in two big pieces. Now you walk.
Say, where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your car? Getting ready for dinner? Oh, I see. Just relaxing in your favorite easy chair. Well, I'd say you're in a good spot right now to really enjoy a Chesterfield. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. It stands to reason. A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Marshal. Tis pretty down here, isn't it? All them nice cottonwood trees. My wife liked them cottonwood trees out to our place, Marshal. She liked them a whole lot.
Jollop killing me isn't gonna get your wife
back. And she was scared, Marshal. She was more scared than me, even. And I'll never get over it. Watching them painted devils ride up, I ever see another Indian, I'll kill myself. I'm still shaking.
You weren't shaking so much you couldn't run off and leave your wife.
You betcha I left. I couldn't stand the sight of them savages. Well, that don't matter now. See here, Marshal, got a knife in my belt. Good long knife, and you know just what I'm going to do after I shoot you. Don't you?
Wait a minute, be quiet.
Don't you tell me to be quiet.
Quiet, I said. Listen.
What?
There's something in that clump of elder on the riverbank over there.
I don't see nothing.
They're gone. You can't see them now, but they're out there. Wait a minute. They'll move any minute now.
Who will, Marshal? What do you say?
Indians. There are three of them. Indians? They were standing right against the river.
Oh, no. No, not Indians.
Watch. Right there. You see one of them standing up. You see him?
Where? Tell me, where is he?
Shoot him, Jollop, shoot him.
Yes, I will. I can't see him.
No. Give me the gun, Jollop.
Hit me, Thrasher. You was fooling.
Let go of it.
No, I... My chest. Hit me in the chest.
I couldn't get your finger off the trigger.
Gotta die. Bleeding all over.
I'm sorry, Jollop.
Oh, I shot myself. I shot everybody, Marshal. I'm the third one.
The third?
Oh, I ain't a coward like you think. I'm scared of Indians, but I didn't run off to leave my wife to them. Not alive, I didn't.
You mean you shot her before they got there? You killed her?
It was terrible, Marshal. She begged me to. Begged me before they could get her. Ain't been right since. Not till now. Now I know I done wrong. Killing Bob Orr, trying to kill you, I done wrong. But I'm all right now, Marshal. I'm all right now.
Jollop. Yeah, I think maybe you are now.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, a horse and buggy frontier doctor was about the most useful and beloved citizen in any community. But next week, Dodge learns that a man has been killed and that it was Doc Adams who killed him. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. America's medical schools urgently need your help. Join the National Fund for Medical Education today. Write Medical Education, Box 313, New York City.
Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.